You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show. Today, I want to bring on Jarvis Levinson. He is an accountability coach at The Morning Hero. He specializes in helping business owners and entrepreneurs implement high-performance habits that dramatically boost their productivity. And as a result, they have greater success in their business as well as in their personal lives. This is going to be exciting because that's what morning routine is all about. And so it's nice to have another expert on the show to kind of bounce ideas off and hear some more insights. So I'm looking forward to our talk. But Jarvis has been at this for a couple of years, actually. So he has facilitated over 1,000 live workshops, seminars, and groups events, showing people systems and hacks to be more efficient with their time so they can better serve their mission. So he prides himself on being so dialed in that he can finish work every day by 1 p.m. so he can spend every afternoon on the beach with his two-year-old son. He believes that everyone should have the same freedom, and he is obsessed, I'm telling you, obsessed with helping them achieve this. So with no further ado, it is an honor, my friend, to have you on the show. Jarvis, welcome on.
Wow. Who is that guy? Can I meet him?
So nice to have you on the show, Jarvis. I mean, you and I go way back before we were both entrepreneurs. We hanging out in the streets of San Diego. We're both from here, and we met here through mutual friends, and have been. It's really interesting to see the progression and to see the evolvement of our lives. But let's talk about your journey. Right, tell the audience a little bit about you and how you got here.
Yeah, it's a very, very deep journey. But it started kind of like where you just, from the place where you were just talking from, you know, our past life. You know, we kind of met in the social scene, in the social circles of San Diego. And it's right around that time.
Yeah.
I call those, you know, the lost years. So between ages of 30 and 35. Like before that, I consider myself a pretty average, a little above average high achiever. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a really good corporate job. I was doing sales for a technology company, and I was, you know, president's club, and I had goals and I was making progress. And then I hit a point in my life where I took my foot off the gas. I got complacent. You know, life was good. Life was easy. And I just got really, I wasn't aggressive after pursuing anything anymore. And my priorities shifted to just hanging out and partying all the time. Mm-hmm. And I got comfortable and just started coasting into life. And then I would say for 5 years, I made absolutely no progress as a person. And one day I woke up and I'm the same exact person I was 5 years ago. Like nothing about me has changed. Like my income had stopped growing. There was no significant improvement there. My health and fitness was degrading. I got into the worst shape of my life. I wasn't satisfied with my relationships. And I was looking at my life and I was at 35 years old and I was disappointed at where I was. And social media makes this worse because you're looking around on social media and you're seeing other people hitting all these, you know, success marks.
Yeah.
You know, they're posting pictures of their new house. They're posting pictures of their wife and their kids or their husband and their kids. And it just seems like they were making strides in life. And then I was looking at my life. I'm like, damn, you know, where am I at? And that turned out actually started to put me into like this depression where I would go out and I would kind of drown my disappointment in myself and try to forget about it by going out and drinking every night and partying. And that was kind of the only thing I really looked forward to was how I can self-medicate and just suppress this disappointment that I was having in myself. And that turned into this vicious cycle or a vicious spiral of, you know, me surrounding myself with the wrong people and not really doing much with my life. And then, you know, it all came to a hit a brick wall where one day, and within 1 week, I got fired from my job. Mm-hmm. I got fired from my relationship. Me and my girlfriend decided to quit. We weren't the best fit, or I wasn't the best fit for her at that point in my life. Yeah. And I had to move out. And within 1 week, I went from living, having a comfortable, cozy life to all of a sudden, I had nowhere to go. I had no job, had no income, and I had to move back to Chicago with my mom. Mm. And then that's where I was forced to start rebuilding my life all over again. Mm. Like for me, I had to hit rock bottom for me to realize that I couldn't continue going down the path that I was going. Like I had to figure out, I knew the worst part was I knew I was better than that. Mm. Like I knew I had potential right. as a person. Like I'm a computer engineer graduate. I was played every sport in high school and college. Everything came easy to me in life. Like I shouldn't have been where I was. Like I knew that I was destined for more than what I was producing in life. And that just burned a fire in me. Like, okay, Jarvis, how do you get off your mom's couch and start living up to the best version of yourself that you know is in there? And that's what started me to get really aggressive about what are successful people doing? What are the habits, behaviors? What are the routines and rituals? What are the things they do that give them an unfair advantage for them to achieve extraordinary things more than other people do? And so I started reading and consuming as much as I could to understand the psychology of success. So that journey kind of led me across many different books, but one of the ones that stood out to me was The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. And so Hal had a very similar journey. He was on a very high growth path in life. And then he had this tragic accident where he had a near-death experience and he was in the hospital and he was forced with having to rebuild his life. And it sounded a lot like my journey. Like I was hit my rock bottom. I had my proverbial car accident in life where I was shook up around and I was forced having to rebuild my life. And he started studying the success habits of millionaires and billionaires. And he came up with this formula of this morning routine that sets their day on fire. And so I read that book and I started doing this routine, this morning routine. And prior to this day, I had never woken up an earlier day in my life. Like I despised people who woke up early. I never thought I would ever be a morning person.
Yeah.
I just, those two words don't even fit well together, morning and person. Just and so I would normally wake up around 8 or 9 o'clock in the day. And when I read this book, he prescribed, he kind of gave all the science behind why waking up early is the best thing you could ever do for your life. And then here's what you do when you wake up early. So that day, I read that book in 2 days. Mm-hmm. And then the next day I said, you know what? I'm going to wake up at 6 a.m. and just see if I can give this thing a go. Mm-hmm. And that morning I woke up at 5:57 with no alarm clock.
Wow.
Hungry, motivated, and excited. Wow. And that was the first day. I was like, that was my rebirth. Mm-hmm. That was the first day of what would be the next phase of my life. Ever since that day, I've woken up early with passion, purpose, and excitement. And it's all because of this practice that I kind of learned from Hal through the Miracle Morning. And since then, I've kind of gone on and developed my own practice. Mm-hmm. And now I'm waking up at 4 a.m. But that's where my journey began. My journey began on my mom's couch after I hit my rock bottom. And I read that book, which ignited a flame in me to start getting up early, to identify my purpose, passion, and put a plan together and pursue it aggressively every single day. And it all starts first thing in the morning. And I've been doing it for the last 5 years. And honestly, it's been life-changing.
That is fantastic. It's just that hero I hear comes out of you, right? Where you hit rock bottom, has to move back home. I didn't even know you ended up back in Chicago.
I moved back in with my mom. As a 35-year-old man living on your mom's couch, like that really eats at your pride, right? And so it was that I needed that moment. I tell everyone, you don't regret or resent anything that happens. Like everything happens for a reason. I needed that. Mm-hmm. Like if I hadn't had that moment, I would have kept just coasting through life with uneventful, meaningless things and not living in my purpose.
Yeah.
So I needed something drastic to happen to force me into a cocoon.
Yeah.
Like this cocooning phase that I went through. And so, yeah, that was necessary.
That those plateau moments are so powerful. At the time, they don't seem so. But when you do come out, you know, when you get that rebirth, it's so powerful because it changed the whole trajectory of your life. You know, it changed. Oh, man, it's like night and day.
Yeah, it's night and day. I was turned out into a butterfly. I was I was this ugly sloth. I think I feel like I'm a beautiful butterfly now.
What's awesome about your story, Jarvis, is that you turned it. You realized how powerful it was for you and how it changed your life. And then you coupled it and morphed it into a business that can actually help people do the same because you learn for it.
Yeah. And that wasn't even the original. That wasn't even the original intent. My original intent was after I kind of went through this cocooning and I refound my flow in life. I, you know, rebirth, went through this new identity, and I wanted to go into real estate. And so I was doing commercial real estate, but every time I talk with someone, you know, they were like, man, what's going on with you? You just always got this gusto. Like you walk in the building with this aura and this essence, and like, you've got this magnetic energy. Like, what's up, man? And I would just tell them what I was doing. Like, oh, this is what I do. I wake up at 5 a.m. and, you know, I meditate, I visualize my goals and I go for a run. And then I would just kind of walk, I plan my day and I do my zero calendar and it just lights me on fire every morning. And so enough people were asking me about what I was doing that I was like, okay, let's all meet up and I'll just start showing you guys and start facilitating workshops. And so on the side, just as a passion, I would just every week I would host meetup groups. I started on meetup.com. I just posted on Meetup morning routines. Yeah. Right. Anyone want to come learn the world's perfect morning routine that's going to light your goals and light your day on fire. Yeah. And then so people started coming. I started doing them in my house. So me and my wife, you know, I wrangled my wife in. She wasn't my wife at the time. I wrangled my wife in for us to host these meetups at our house. And so for the first couple meetup groups, people come to my house and we just talk about meditation. Or talk about the power of writing your goals down. Or talk about the power of journaling. Talk about how to plan your day for maximum efficiency and time management. And so every week there would be a different topic. And I just found that I was so passionate about this and people were finding so much value that then people started putting me on this platform as the expert. Mm-hmm. And I was just showing them what I was doing.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden people were coming to me left and right and asking me to go speak on different stages. Can you go speak about this? I didn't have a degree in any of this stuff, but now all of a sudden I became the expert.
Yeah.
Just because I was so passionate in the way I talked about it. And so I started hosting events, large scale events. And then that enough people saw value in what I was doing that all of a sudden, I remember one day someone was saying, Jarvis, you should be charging for this. And that was the first time it had ever been presented to me that, wait a minute, I could actually make money doing this thing that I'm passionate about. Yeah. And look, before that, I never really had an intention of this being a business. It was more just showing people how to live a more fruitful and productive life.
Yeah.
With these habits, this morning ritual and this morning routine. Then over time that morphed into, well, people would actually pay you to do this. And so that's how it became a business. But it started with the passion first.
Yeah. And that's key. And once you find your purpose, everything else falls into place.
Absolutely.
The people will show up that you need to serve. So it's beautiful. And I'm so glad you went through that journey and it's been so successful for you. Now, in the meetup groups, now you were just simply telling them the science behind meditation or journaling. You weren't actually doing those sessions. It was just informative.
No. So my philosophy is like, get your hands dirty. Okay. And so we would actually do it together. So I remember the session I had on meditation, it was like, hey, this is kind of the why behind it. This is why it works, how it works. Boom. Now let's do it.
Okay.
And we would actually meditate together. So I would actually lead people through a 10-minute meditation. I'm sure people thought I was crazy. But, you know, when we did journaling, we'd go behind the why and the science and this is what it does and this is how it does it. All right, boom. Here are some journaling prompts. Let's all do it together right now. Take 5 minutes of silence. I'll do your journals. Then we all have some discussion. So everything I do, I facilitate workshop style where we actually get our hands dirty and do it. And I think that's why people liked it so much and were so engaged with it. And, you know, those events kind of grew to the point that they had grown to.
Yeah. And it's applicable. They can do it now and go learn it the proper way and then go off on their own and do it. Yeah. So for what you've seen in your line of work, what do you think stops people from achieving their goals? You've hit your rock bottom. I've hit my rock bottom. And then that was the kick in the butt to get up and get things done. In your field, what do you see kind of stop people from achieving, you know, resolutions? We make them every year. Achieving goals. Yeah.
Not being intentional. So things don't just happen. You have to make them happen. People will come up with I want to lose weight this year. And then that's it. And then they put no other intention behind it. And they expect it just to happen. Intentionality is the key to life. Mm-hmm. And intentionality is doing things on purpose, not just letting the day happen, purposefully designing it for things to happen the way you want them to happen. And so that starts with you taking time every morning to set your intention. And the biggest problem people have is that they wake up running. They wake up and they run right into their day. Mm-hmm. They wake up just in time. They wake up just in time to deal with the first thing they have to deal with. Mm-hmm. They wake up just in time to deal with their family or their children mm-hmm. and get them ready for school. They wake up just in time for them to take a shower and go off to work. Mm-hmm. They wake up just in time for them to get ready for a client appointment. They wake up just in time to deal with the world. And they never take time first to set their own intention. So what happens is they get stuck in the whirlwind. Right. The whirlwind is just the day-to-day of life. Right. They wake up and immediately they sucked into this typhoon of the whirlwind. You know, the whirlwind is their emails, their clients, their family, their social media, everything that's demanding their attention. They wake up right into it. And then they never have time. Next thing you know, 5-10 years have passed. They look up and they, wait a minute, where am I? Right. I am nowhere near where I thought I would. Because they've been sucked into the typhoon, this tornado that's taken them way off course, and they never take time every morning to design their perfect day, to design what's going to happen that day. They let the day dictate what's going to happen to them. And that's where they get stuck. And that's where I had got stuck. Mm-hmm. Every day I would just wake up into the whirlwind, and next thing you know, 5 years of my life had passed, and I had made no significant progress. Matter of fact, I had gone significantly off course of where I knew I should have been. And that was because now I know all I had to do was wake up a little earlier. So in my case, what the Miracle Morning taught me was wake up 1 hour before my first obligation. Mm-hmm. 1 hour before. So whereas before I would wake up just in time to get ready for work, now I wake up 1 hour before I need to get ready for work. In that 1 hour, the power hour, that's where all the intention is set. That's where I meditate on my goals and visualize my day and how my day is going to play out. And then pull out my calendar and plan exactly how it's going to play out. That's the perfect day that's going to push each one of my goals forward. Like that 1 hour is the most powerful hour of the day. And that's where I set my intention. And then from that point forward, like I control the day.
Right.
The day doesn't control me anymore.
Right.
I've designed the day. Like I've set the law of attraction in front of me. And like now all the angels are paving the path to do the day exactly the way I designed it because I took that time.
Yeah.
And most people get stuck because they don't take time in the morning. Right. They wake up just in time. They add that extra hour, that power hour. That's where all their progress and success will be built.
Solid, solid advice. And that's what I teach my clients. And that every entrepreneur that come on the show talks about is that power hour, the importance of it, because you're planning out the day, but you're taking care of yourself first before you let everyone else in. When you open up social media, you open up email, it really derails you to someone else's agenda, not your own, because you didn't set yours yet. And I find it instrumental to, as you say, I love that, to be intentional about it. To design it, to put in your calendar, putting that in place so you know what you're going to work on. But most importantly, Jarvis, is like you can't hit a target you don't have. Zig Ziglar said that. So it's important to set goals. Yeah. So you got to know what you're aiming for. You got to know what you are going after. So what do you share with people who don't have a sense of what they want to work on, don't know how to set goals? What kind of advice do you give them?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I struggle with this because like I'm so passionate and because I know I have a goal. But then I have people that I work with and even have family members and they just squander because they don't have a goal. And they even say, I don't know. I don't have anything that I want that I'm pursuing. And it's like, I just can't even understand that. Like, what do you mean you don't know? Like, you don't, what do you mean you don't want, you don't have any ambition? You don't have any, there's nothing you know, that you want to work towards?
It comes down to purpose, I think. It's that lack of drive, that lack of purpose. Because if you're aimlessly wandering, it's because you haven't stepped into your calling, that truth, totally. That passion to actually start living the purpose. And the purpose essentially is adding value to other people's lives.
Yeah, 100%. You're right. A lot of people haven't found it. Like I can honestly say that I didn't speak this passionately until I found my purpose, right? Up until I turned 35, I didn't speak like this because I was squandering. Mm-hmm. And I used to resent my wife because she's known her passion since she was, you know, in high school. And that is to help kids. And that's what she's done for her entire life. She wants to provide opportunity for those who otherwise would not have it. Yeah. Opportunity for success and to be fruitful in life. And she does that through education. Mm-hmm. And not just education, but going into underserved communities. Yeah. With kids who otherwise wouldn't have a platform to have a better life. Mm-hmm. And so she's been passionate about that. And I used to always resent her, like, gosh, you wake up every day and you know exactly your calling and I don't. Like, yeah. And so I used to be one of those that squandered. And the only advice I can give people that don't know their passion, that don't know their calling, is that it doesn't come from just sitting around. Stay active. Always be moving.
Take action.
Take action, doing something. Maybe you take some action and you move in a direction and maybe that ends up not being the direction, but at least everything moves you closer. Wow. So you learn something from that. Oh, I know that that's not the thing now, but hey, I got something from this experience and now I'm going to apply this to this new direction. Like, always stay in motion and you'll eventually find what the path is. But if you're sitting still, you'll never get anywhere. You'll never get closer to the path.
Yeah.
So that's my advice for folks who don't know their purpose, don't know their calling, don't know what their grand design is, to do something.
That's
like whatever
good.
You feel it is, like experiment. You got to always be experimenting. You like surfing? All right, go out, start surfing. Go and see if that's what it is. Yeah. See if there's a calling for you there. If that's not it, boom. Like, what else can you do? Like, as long as you're moving and you're in motion towards something, mm-hmm. you're making progress.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting still and you know you're just sitting still and you're not like...
Life will pass you by.
Yeah, it'll pass you by.
Just like you, 5 years will go by. And I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
What am I doing? Like, I wasn't happy 5 years ago and I'm still not happy now. Like, when am I going to do something about it?
In 2018, that's how I woke up. I was like, this is worthless. I even considered suicidal. I was like, there's no point in this. I'm not working a 9-to-5. I'm doing 16 hours. There's no point to life. And it was until, for me, finding my purpose came out of spending time with myself. That's one advice. And I think you can allude to is, actually, when you have a friend, you to get to know them, you spend time with them. You know their quirks, you know what they like, you know what they don't like. So you don't interrupt or get them upset, get them mad. You get to know the individual. Well, it's the same thing. We are so busy doing. We are so busy waking up just in time. That analogy you shared earlier. We're so busy on the go that we don't spend that quiet time to actually turn inward. To be still, right? Just to be still for a minute. And that's what I think meditation allows. That's what that power hour in the morning allows. That's what the morning routine gives you, is that opportunity. Totally. If you don't know what your purpose is or what your goal is, what you are aiming to work at, that's okay. But please do spend some time away from social media. Do spend some time in meditation where it's just you taking some deep breaths for 2 minutes, or journaling. And I find it, the biggest one is gratitude. You get stuff from anywhere by having an attitude of gratitude.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, preach. No, you hit the nail on the head. So I think those two combined is kind of the magic formula. One, that silence, because that's where you get inspiration from.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you receive that divine inspiration. That's where you can hear. I say, you know, meditation or in that silence is where you hear the whispers of the universe. Like, at any given moment, the universe is speaking to you, but it's whispering. It's not this loud bang over your head. It's whispering. If you don't ever calm down all the noise, you'll never hear that whisper that the universe is trying to plant. And so having that designated silence every day where you can hear the whispers of the universe, you can hear your gut intuition, you can hear that little birdie, you can feel where you're being guided, but then to act on it.
Yeah.
Like, you got to move. You can't just sit around. And, you know, I have a friend right now, they're very religious and they're like, oh, you know, the Lord is going to take care of it. I just sit and I just be prayerful and I just pray. And, you know, I'm religious too and all, but you can pray all day, but at some point you got to move. some point you got to take action. Some point you got to say, all right, Deloitte, this little seed or this little idea was planted. All right, go. Can you go find a networking group around that? Can you go and find and talk to someone? Who can you reach out to? Can you find someone on LinkedIn that you can ask some questions about it? At some point, you got to start moving on some of those things. And that's only where you're going to find passion. It's not going to just hit you while you're sitting still. You got to take that inspiration and you got to start putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
And yes, you might go through two or three or four different iterations or four different paths until you find your path. It's what it frustrates me is these people that's trying to get it right on the first try. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I don't know if that's it. So I'm not going to do anything. You're not going to get it right on the first try. Like I'm in the fifth version of me,
right?
I'm on the fifth different thing that I've tried. I've gone through four different careers, mm-hmm. but at any point I was moving.
Right.
I was always moving
right.
towards something. You got to move towards something. And eventually that will evolve into what your grand design
absolutely,
is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I so agree with you. And you and I both go to the same church. We were both members at the Rock Church. And yeah. I've heard the same. My parents grew up in the church and it's always been, the Lord will take care of it. Just wait for the Lord. But it says it in the Bible, faith without works is dead. Like you really right. gotta take action. And T.D. Jakes said this thing the other day. I was listening to him. He says, God did not design the chair, the desk, but he did give you a tree.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What do you do with the ideas? You're not going to get everything laid out to you. And that's what you're alluding to with that failing forward. Like, it's okay to try. Yeah. It's okay to keep moving and make progress and see what works and what don't. And then navigate it accordingly, right? And
right.
so you're going to have these ideas, but know that every failure is an opportunity to learn.
That's right. And everything, grow. I mean, we wouldn't even call it failures, learning moments. Everything you do, you learn. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it's not the outcome you wanted, you got something from it. Like, every one of my past lives that led up to this, I used it all built something from, you know, that I apply today
right.
in my passion. Right. And so sometimes all those little things you go through are building blocks that's preparing you for what will be your purpose. Right.
To contribute towards it. Absolutely. Now, we speak of it. We live and breathe this stuff. But a lot of people I find suffer with self-sabotage, that negative thought. I call them ANT, automatic negative thoughts, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Amen coined that term. And it really is instant because we have 60,000 thoughts a day and 90% of the same ones from yesterday. So yeah. we are expecting to be different than we were yesterday, and that doesn't work. And so for me, I know my change came when I changed my habits, but I had to change my beliefs. I had to change my mindset. And you too, with all the reading that you partake in, you enlighten yourself. Totally. You consume the right content. And then that changed your mindset. I still do affirmations every day. Okay. I declare yeah. abundance upon my life. I declare that I am victorious. I declare that affirmations. The Bible tells us to declare that I am that I am. And so
yeah.
on a daily basis, that's work for me. And that's only to eliminate and eradicate negative thoughts and negative beliefs, because those beliefs will direct my habits. You know,
totally.
they will direct my habit of drinking or my habit of being lazy, my habit of not going for that run first thing in the morning. The same, if my belief changes to I am enough, I'm lovable, I deserve this, then I will get up and do the go for that run, eat the healthier breakfast. And that's a domino effect into me feeling better. And then there's that loop. It kind of feeds right back to it, right? You have your belief, you have your actions, and then you have your results. So yeah. talk a little bit. I know you're fond of this topic as well. So talk a little bit about self-sabotage and how we are standing in our own way and how do we get out?
Yeah. I mean, you nailed it. I think that's one of the biggest reasons that people don't move forward or they don't live up to what they were designed to live up to. It's no external factor. It's all internal.
Right.
It's all mindset. Now and I love the way you worded it. It's the work. Mm-hmm. That's the work. The work is getting up every day and deciding that you're going to work on yourself to build up yourself, to build up your mindset. And the way we do it, that work is heavy work. It's, you know, meditating, it's journaling, it's those affirmations that you talked about.
Yeah.
But once you start to feel that feedback loop is once you start to to see a little bit of progress and success, then it feeds back and it's like, oh, okay, that works. So let me keep on doing it. Like, oh, the hard part is getting started.
Right.
Once you get started and you start to see a little, you know, you start to see how much better you feel, how much motivated you are, how you're looking better in the mirror because you're getting up with purpose every day and you're exercising. Like once you start to see a little bit of that, then it starts to destroy some of those negative thoughts. But the more you sit still, the thoughts get louder and louder and louder. Right. It goes back to you got to move. You got to take action because the more you move, the more the thoughts dissipate.
Physical movement too, not just like taking action and finding a goal to work on, but just like going for a walk or stretching. That Tony Robbins call it getting into peak state because we're emotional being. And so we need to actually be in motion and constantly moving to actually release serotonin so that we can change our state. We need to change our state of mind. And that's the fastest way to do it is through that movement as well, but also taking action. Starting hard, as you say, Jarvis, is hard. And what I tell people is you can do anything for 2 minutes.
Totally. And you know what, the movement part, like I don't want to just gloss over that. I think that is the answer. So I go for a run every morning and I can honestly say, like I call it my activation. I get activated. Not only does it activate my body, which puts me into a peak performance zone, it raises your cortisol levels. Yeah. And so from a hormone and from a science perspective, it activates your body. It activates your metabolism. You start burning more calories all throughout the day. You actually lose more weight by doing morning exercise versus evening exercise. Yeah. So from a physical standpoint, it activates you. Mm-hmm. But deeper than that, it activates my mind and my soul and my spirit.
Nice.
Because I get a victory. And so running is hard. I don't like it. It is gruesome. My joints hurt. I'm sweating. I'm grinding. But boy, when I finish, oh God, I'm like, yes, I conquered that.
Yep.
What else is there for me to conquer today?
Right.
What else? I'm ready.
Right.
Now, the negative voices aren't loud because like, the way you destroy negative voices is by building up your own confidence. Mm-hmm. Like when you're confident in yourself, then no negative voice can creep in. Like the negative voice is trying to say, oh, you can't do that. The way you calm the negative voice down is by having a bank of experiences or achievements to go pull from saying, you know what? Hell yeah, I could do it. I know I can because I did this thing over here.
Yeah,
I accomplished this. So of course I can. Shut up, negative voice.
Right.
So the way you shut up the negative voices is that you have to have some sort of achievements or something that builds up your confidence to destroy a voice. So when you work out in the morning, it's the first achievement of the day. Mm-hmm. Now it gives you momentum and you carry that in that confidence, that swagger into everything else. So how do you get started? How do you build momentum? How do you destroy your negative voice? It could be as easy as start your day with something physical.
Yep.
Because now you build momentum. Now your movement is going. Now it's like, okay, well, I just conquered that. Let me conquer this other thing that I didn't think I could conquer. But yeah, I can do that. Now let me make these cold calls because I'm juiced and active and I'm ready. Let me call these people. So what if they're going to hang up on me? I'm calling them anyway. Like that first domino, like it starts knocking down all these other dominoes.
That's what you call a keystone habit. It affects it positively affects every other area because you made that one decision. And it's positive.
That one thing, that's all you got to do. Like, you ain't got to worry about all these. Just worry about that one thing. Can you get up and move?
Yeah.
Because then once you do that, all the other things just fall in place.
Oh, I love this. I love that so much. Because now we just took it from taking action and accomplishing your goals and doing things to actually make it physical. And if you can do the physical piece, that's the easy part. And that will give you the more, what do you call it? Softer things you need to work, soft skills, the more like the other goals that you need to reach in your life. But the 2 minute rule is you can get up and go for a walk for 2 minutes. You won't actually, you'll walk longer, but the fact that you're tricking the brain to say, we're only doing this for 2 minutes. We put a timer on for 2 minutes. We're doing this. You step outside of your yard. Next thing you realize you're 10 minutes in and you're like, okay, this is not so bad. You do it again because the brain is designed to keep you safe. The brain is designed to keep us comfortable. Anything out of the ordinary, it's like fight or flight. This is not, we're not used to doing this, so we're not going to do it. But if you can start for 2 minutes, you got to optimize the starting line and not the finish line because we overwhelm ourselves with thinking, oh man, running 3 miles, it's going to take me half hour and I'm going to be grinding and hurting, like you said. Right. No, you're talking yourself out of it by right. doing that. But if you optimize for the starting line and decide, all right, 2 minutes, it's all I'm going to do. And then you'll realize the power in that, because that's repetition. You can start over every day. You can start every day for 2 minutes because you're building that habit.
I use that like just yesterday. I was like, oh, I'm just going to run down 1 mile back and forth, run down to the end of this
block
street, mm-hmm. block and back. And I ended up running for 30 minutes.
Yep.
So that actually, it does work. You know, playing mind games with
that's
yourself.
That's a habit trick.
Just to get started.
Got to get started. That's the mind trick. And in 2 minutes, because making it easier. Another thing I want to allude to, we're going over and I want to wrap it up, is setting your environment for success. I know you know about this. I know you teach this to your clients, and that's why you have the accountability piece. Even for a habit as running, is putting your shoes by your bed so that you see it. It has to be visible for you to, so your mind can be triggered to actually take that step. And so let's environment. Tell us about how you help using environment, how you help your clients get productive to use their environment.
The very, very first and easiest thing you could do is not sleep with your phone next to you. Yep. So from an environment perspective, I don't have my phone in my bedroom.
Yep.
My phone charges in the bathroom. And for two reasons. One, if your phone is next to you and it's the alarm clock, the first thing you're going to do when the alarm goes off is what are you going to do? You're going to snooze it.
Right.
Like if it's within an arm reach, it's too easy to snooze. And so the first thing teach morning heroes is to sleep with your phone in another room. Because it helps for two things. It helps with sleep hygiene. Mm-hmm. So your phone is, if it's close to you, your brain is constantly triggering your brain. Your brain is constantly being triggered to grab it, to check Instagram, mm-hmm. to see what's going on. And so when it's not around you, just your phone's presence around you, it's a trigger for your brain. So one, it's destroying your sleep quality mm-hmm. with your phone in your room. So a big part of your environment is one, removing things that's harmful for that environment. So I tell people, put their phone in another room, or in my case, I like to put it in the bathroom, because when the alarm goes off, I have to run to the bathroom to turn it off.
Yeah.
And now I'm already in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at my toothbrush. I'm looking at my FaceTime. I might as well just go ahead and get started for the day. So it's an easy way to ensure you get up moving. First thing, moving and not snoozing.
Yeah.
If you could do that one part, then all the other things can naturally play out. But just don't sleep in the phone next to you.
That's good advice. Yeah, that helps with productivity. So this is so fantastic. I really, really love the insight that you bring on. So, you know, I have to get into it, which we talked about a little bit. So I want to know, how do you get up, dress up, and show up? What's your morning routine like?
So I'm up at 4, which my brain, not, like I've been doing it for so long that I'm actually up before the alarm. The alarm is set for 4, but my brain normally wakes up around 3:45. Before the alarm. So I'm up. And so right now I live about a half a mile from my office. And so I'll go and do this little mile loop where I run to the office in the morning. So I come into the office and I do my whole morning practice here in my office. So I kind of sit and I have a morning hero journal. Mm-hmm. And so this process that I've kind of coined, I made a journal, and the journal walks me through the whole 5-step process. So all I do is I sit down at my desk, I open the journal to a fresh page, and I kind of just walk through the whole routine.
Okay.
And so the routine is first meditate. Mm-hmm. I call it clearing the cache. It's how I do a different form of meditation. There are common meditations where you're trying to calm the brain. You're trying to calm it down. You're trying to suppress thoughts. You know, you're trying to hit this transcendental state where you're just being.
Mm-hmm.
I like to meditate where I don't suppress the thoughts, I encourage them. And what I'm doing is I'm seeking inspiration, like I'm seeking a word, I'm seeking wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm actually inviting it in. And so I'll start with kind of a priming question, like, what does success look like today? And then I'll sit with my eyes closed and I'm letting the thoughts stir. It's like a movie starts playing in my mind. And it's like, I'm literally like a third person just sitting there with popcorn watching the movie. Like it's like entertainment. I'm just watching the movie play. Like, so instead of suppressing the movie, I'm actually letting it play out. And most of the time, that's where my inspiration for the day comes. So for at least 10 minutes, I'm sitting with my eyes closed, watching the movie that's playing in my mind. And then I start writing it down. It's like everything I'm seeing, I open my eyes and I'll kind of write and journal. Sometimes it turns into blueprints for my business. Mm-hmm. So I just redid my website 3 days ago. That entire blueprint came during my meditation. Wow. Like I was visualizing what success looked like. It was like, okay, redo your webpage. Here's what it's going to look like. And then I opened my eyes and I started drawing it on the paper. So sometimes it'll turn into blueprints. Sometimes it'll be just a checklist. Sometimes it'll be me flushing out my vision. But I'll do that for at least 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'll do a reflection. So I'll write, what are at least 3 wins that I had from yesterday? Mm-hmm. 3 things that I'm proud of. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, what could I have done better? And how would I do it differently? So I do this reflection, making sure that I'm growing and progressing every single day. Then I write my goals. And then I start action planning the day. So after I write the goal, I'll say, what do I need to do today to move that goal the furthest? Mm. And then I'll come up with kind of 2 or 3 critical actions.
Yeah.
And then I'll go to my next goal. I'll write the goal. And then I'll say, what do I need to do today to move that goal the furthest? Mm-hmm. And so once I kind of go through that, then I put it all, I call it a zero calendar, where everything that I came up, I think a to-do list is where good intentions go to die. Like, to-do lists are very ineffective. If something is important, schedule it on your calendar. Just like it's a client appointment, yeah. It's an appointment that I have with myself to do that thing that I said is most important at that time. So I schedule everything on my calendar. And when you do that, you'll find that there's zero blank space on your calendar. So it's called a zero calendar. You schedule every minute of your day with intention. Yeah. And when you do that, you've essentially designed the perfect day. If today would be absolutely perfect, how exactly down to the minute, how would a perfect day go? Mm-hmm. And so every morning I use this count, this hero journal mm-hmm. to plan my perfect day. It takes me about 20 minutes, but by the end of that 20 minutes, I'm focused, I'm clear, I'm organized, I'm inspired and motivated, and I'll just fucking go attack the world.
Nice.
So that's my process. So I do a little exercise and then I use this journal to plan out my perfect day with intention and purpose every single day.
That's cool. You got the movement in there, but you're intentional, because that was one of your biggest advice when we started, is be intentional. Be intentional right. with your day and design your day to set up your environment. And so that is a great morning routine. You're successful with it. So I'm glad you shared it, because people can get some insight from that. So I want to know, how can we connect with you? How can my listeners find you?
Yeah. So themorninghero.com. As a matter of fact, this journal that I just shared with you, this whole process, they can go to themorninghero.com, and that's where they can actually either purchase a journal of their own or sign up. And or if they decide they want to go deeper, they can become a morning hero, which that's essentially what the morning hero was born, because every morning I did this process mm-hmm. and it felt like it gave me superpowers. Every morning I would do this structured routine and I got superpowers and I would go save the world.
Yeah.
And so it felt like this process turned me into a hero. And so that's how the name, the morning hero, that's where it came from. And so now that's what I offer other people. I offer other people an opportunity to become morning heroes themselves. And morning hero is someone that gets up every day, fired up, with intention and purpose. They're super dialed in and organized with their time, and they're more productive than most people are. They can do more by 9 a.m. than what most people will do all day long. And that's what a morning hero is. And now I show other people how to become morning heroes themselves. And so if you want to know how to become a morning hero, you can go to themorninghero.com.
Yes, absolutely. I will put that on the show notes and your social media handle so people can connect with you. This has been fantastic, Jarvis. Thank you for coming in as another expert on morning routines and morning habits on how to prime, set the tone for the day.
That's right.
You have given us so much to think about, and I look forward to sharing this with the world. It has been a phenomenal chat. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here.
Oh, awesome.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation. access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.